I'd like to thank you all for coming and thanking the our organization for allowing us this opportunity to be here. And I'm enjoying very much the presentations. I'm Dr. Betty Keach from Villanova University, and this is my student, who everybody is impressed with because she's an undergraduate student. And we think it's pretty impressive to be able to have students participate with us, and encourage you to do the same thing if you can, if you have the opportunities. We've had this great association with a community in Nicaragua called Waslala. We've been going down there as a university team since 2004 in collaboration with engineering students and business students. We have several projects going on down there. We're working, the engineers are working in providing water, clean water to the communities. We've been providing health education. And more recently, we've been collaborating on a project with mobile health so that we can bring give phones to our community members who live way up in the mountains and provide them with access to more rapid information in case of emergencies or for questions that they may have. Our community is Waslala, which is not on the map, so I had to put it on the map. Even today, it's very difficult to find. It's in the mid-Atlantic region of Nicaragua. It's in the area up closer to Honduras, where the Contra War was, suffered a lot of the ravages of war. The schools were closed for 12 to 15 years. Most of our adult population did not go to school. And even today, about a third of the children in the communities do not go to school. Nicaragua is the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And our community is primarily subsistence farmers. There was something else I wanted to tell you, but it's going right out of my brain. So let me go see where we are here. This is a picture of a very nice farm to let you know. This is probably not one of the subsistence farmers. This is in the town. Oh, I remember. The town, there exists there about, probably close now to about 60,000 people. About 12 to 15 live in the town, and there are surrounding the town about 90 to 100 communities, even more than that we've heard. Just depends on who's counting or how they count the towns. So we go 90 to about 100 communities. And just to give you an indication of what it's like, it's very, very rural where we go, and the people live in the mountains. They have to travel. One young woman we met who came to town for to have her baby had traveled for 12 hours. The roads are all dirt roads except in the center of the town. Even from to get there from Managua takes about 8 hours, 8 or 9 hours in good days. The roads are terrible, half of the distance, so that our transport is can be stopped, stalled, and it's actually quite an adventure. If the bus doesn't break down at least once, the students are disappointed because we tell them that it's going to break down, and don't get excited. We will get to wherever we need to go, and it happens every time. So this is an example. Those are the roads. If you can see the paths, those are the roads that people travel. And so obviously they walk for miles and miles or on horseback. Of course, they have rainy seasons. I now know how you can tell if you can drive across the stream. You walk into the middle of it. If you can get to, you know, and it's only thigh deep, you can probably drive across it. So this is how you gauge things. It's a challenge. Just another example, this is one of our groups, but I wanted to show you how mountainous it is. And our engineer students climb up the mountains. We climb halfway up the mountains to the houses and things like that. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience.
So this is a picture of the hospital in Waslala. And as Dr. Keach said, there's many surrounding communities. So this is the hospital. It serves two the town itself of Waslala and its communities. It's located in the center, so anybody in the surrounding communities really has to travel very far to get to it. It has very limited resources. They haven't had a working x-ray machine for over 15 years now. And they also can't provide any service for complicated births, so things like C-sections and things like that. They have to travel. Most people would have to travel from the communities, which can take hours to get to this hospital. And then if they do need a C-section, they would have to travel at least another probably 3 to 4 hours to get to Managua or Matagalpa, where they would be able to do the C-section or a complicated birth like that. The hospital has a very limited formulary. Because of that, they can tend to overtreat or undertreat things. Things like pneumonia, they overtreat with antibiotics, but things that they don't consider to be serious, they might recommend that you use a natural remedy. So an interesting fact is, while the hospital can recommend the herbal medications that they should take or remedies, they can't actually give them to you or provide you with any of them. So then where do the people get them from? In Nicaragua, they have what is called curanderos, and they would be considered herbalists to us. They will not tell people what herbs they can grow or what herbs they should get. Rather, you tell them your symptoms, and they will just give you the herbs that they think that you should take. So they won't, as I said, they won't tell you what to grow so that you can't do it yourself. They want to be the ones to provide it to you. Another way to get the herbal remedies or medications that people might need, in these communities, there are the community health workers, and those are who we work closely with. The community health workers are provided with Western medications and herbs sometimes by the Association of Integral Sustainable Development. And so people in the communities, they can get herbal remedies from them, or they can get Western medications that are necessary without having to travel to the hospital. But as I said, it's very limited. They don't always have the resources to be able to provide people with these. This is just a picture of an outpost clinic pharmacy. In Wasala, you have that hospital, and then there's also 5 outpost clinics. These outpost clinics are they're very difficult to get to, and while it makes it easier for resources and for people to get the health care that they need, it's still very difficult to travel to, and they still have a very limited formulary. So as you can see, it's very small, and supplies run out very quickly. Also, another problem with them is not only is it difficult to travel to, but since the resources are limited and the people that can provide the services is limited, you can get there and you can be waiting all day to see somebody, but then the clinic will close and you will have just spent your entire day traveling to get there or waiting to see somebody, and then you still won't have seen anybody. So it takes a lot of time, and people often can't afford to lose that time traveling or lose a whole day wasted sitting waiting to see somebody and then not even see somebody, because that's a day where they could be working or doing other things. The Akote Dudu is one of the communities that we travel to, and they have a house of natural medicine and an accompanying garden. Just to give you an idea of how difficult it was to travel here, from the hospital, or the center of town, it was about a half an hour car ride to get here, and then a 3 to 4 hour hike and horseback ride. So it's very mountainous terrain, it's very muddy. We were there in the rainy season, so it was very difficult to get to. So if anybody in a community like this needed to get to the hospital, it would take them at least 3 to 4 hours just to get to the hospital. Here we spoke to Marcelino, and he was their herbal specialist. This is a picture of his garden, and he showed us things that they use and explained what they use all the herbs for, not all of them, but a lot of them. This is a picture of us there just taking notes. He would pass around the herbs and tell us what they were using them for. This is a picture of how he stored some of the herbs. As you can see, some of them are bark of trees, and some of it is roots and seeds as well. So, some themes to research that we found. While we were there, we had the health workers. We had about 20 of them fill out a chart of the most common herbal remedies that they use, what they use them for, and if they think they're effective, and if they know of any contraindications for them, things that would cause problems if they gave them to certain people. And what we did then was we came back here and we've been doing basically a review of the literature to see what our studies have been showing or what other studies have been showing. And a few themes that we've been finding is just based on the nutrition of the herbs themselves. A lot of them are just good for you because they're herbs and they boost your immune system. But a lot of them have been found to have to stimulate healing and have anti-inflammatory and anti-infective properties, which is why it could be that they work. Feverfew is an example of one of the herbs that they use in Nicaragua. It's not that common here, but it's very common there. The reported uses, as you can see, insomnia, anxiety, head pain, stomach pain, nausea, and muscle pain. It's contraindicated in pregnancy, and that's because it could cause early contractions and miscarriages. We don't know if they know this there, so it's something that we're going to bring back to them. It also can slow blood clotting, but one of the important things is if you look at who they use Feverfew for, the people with nausea or stomach pain or insomnia, a pregnant woman is going to experience all of these things. So it's really important that they know that it can cause problems for pregnancy and it can lead to miscarriages.
So this is new to us, this whole field of herbal medicine, and we come with a lot of Western bias. My first couple years, I originally started in Peru, and people would tell me something, and I would always, my response would be, well, what did the doctor say? Well, that was a dumb question. And what medicines do you take? No, that's not an answer for that. So we had to go back and we had to investigate really what's been going on in the world. And we're quite knowledgeable. You know, we teach our students all the time. When you're doing I do home care. You know, you need to get all of the information from your patient. What medications do they take? And include over the counter. And we now have been for about 5 or 10 years saying, and the herbal medications that they're taking. So we know that this is important information. But I can tell you, I don't think we do very much with it. I know St. John's Wort is bad. Not bad, I won't say bad, but contraindicated with a multitude of drugs. I know that. That's probably about all I know. And so I'm like, man, these people are relying on these drugs. And what our herbalist will tell us when he would point out a plant, and this is not the only herbal farm that we went, the plant would be responsible or have the ability to do 12 things. And that made me nervous because I believe that these many of our own medications come from herbs. I believe they're effective, but I don't believe they're effective for a multitude of things. They might even be effective for more than one, because we now know with our meds, we're finding that if you look at gabapentin, for example, is good for seizures and also good for nerve pain. So we know things have multiple uses, and so you don't want to dismiss this information, but the list is too long or not even closely related. So we went back. How have we been taking care of people forever? Traditional medicine has been probably based primarily on the placebo effect, which is quite powerful. The placebo effect is very powerful. Some of the reading, we've always said about a third of any research we do on some type of medication, about a third of the patients will have a positive response. And so that's why you have to be so careful. And it's also how we can attribute so many responses, positive responses, to the same plant or the same pill. Because if you give people something and they think it'll work, in many cases, either they're getting better all by themselves, or there is that mind-body medicine that the power of positive thinking does work in many situations. So probably for most of history, that's what we have done for people. We've held their hands, we've been with them, we've given them salves and tinctures and teas that may or may not work, but also have that powerful placebo effect. And we just didn't have the science for it to prove anything. We know now that it's increasing globally, the use of, it's always been present, but in the Western medicine, it's increasing. Even in the United States, in developing countries, about 80% of the people rely on them. And I would say that's about true for our population. Even in the United States, almost 20% of adults, 12% of children are using herbal meds. Most of them are now, the majority of the adults are now telling their doctors, but not their pharmacist. Who would know about contraindications? The pharmacist. There's a lot of problems with the research that's out there. Herbal medicine practitioners are unregulated, and the medications are not standardized in their preparation. Wide variations. Very difficult to generalize from the research because it's so tiny pieces to the populations in general. However, there's good news. They're working on it, and this journal, I had a copy of this journal. I couldn't read any one of the articles because they were so they were down to the cellular level, so complex. So there remains a great deal of uncertainty in the efficacy of the medications, the safety, the quality. The mechanisms of action are really poorly defined and very controversial. We need clinical trials. The past clinical trials have been criticized for lack of quality assurance and being able to reproduce them. Furthermore, there is a growing number of reports of adverse effects. There are dangers from impurities and adulterations in the preparation. There was a student from Hong Kong in the poster presentation. She said the over-the-counter drugs that are being shipped from China are very, very dangerous. Improper labeling, lack of information, false claims, lots of things. Example of false claims is noni, which has been around for 2 years. It's this horrible tasting fruit. It grows right on where we are, staying in Nicaragua. It is supposed to have, they believed, it's a food source, antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal. You can read the list. It goes on and on. There is research being done. There's this foundation that looks very legitimate called the Worldwide Research of Noni. It cures whatever ails you. You better get it and start drinking it. Even though it tastes awful, it cures everything. Well, the reality is, it's probably just a good fruit, healthy fruit, food source. Good news is, there's growing acceptance by the medical community about looking at these the alternative medications. There is increasing funds. It doesn't compare to the funds that are being spent on medications. And there are now national databases that nurses and physicians, everybody can look at. They're still learning. It's still difficult to get to the information. And most people do not use them. They're trying to be comprehensive. They try to tell you what's effective. No evidence for effectiveness, unlikely to be effective. So they're using very general terms. National standards, another one, possibly safe, likely to be safe, unlikely to be safe. They have ranking scales. So to finish up.
So we have a duty to protect as healthcare workers, and our consumers have a right to know how safe and effective a medication is. Due to this, in March, we will be traveling back to Nicaragua, and as part of my community health class, I have put together a chart, and it basically goes over what they say they use the herbs for and what we have found the safetiness of them to be. And we're just going to give that information to them. We might not be able to give them better information of what to use it for, but we think it's important to let them know what contraindications are that we know about. So I also have I've started that, and I have an example of it here if any of you want to take a look at it afterwards. So our lessons learned, there's different practices everywhere, and that's kind of a problem. It's a worldwide movement for these herbal remedies, but we're all doing something different. So we need to kind of come together, and everybody needs to do things the same way. There's limited regulation. running out of time, so I'm going to speed through this. What's in the future? We need collaborative research with an ethical framework and a shared language that will make research a lot easier. We can see right now there's integrated medicine with Western medicine and alternative and complementary medicine. You see it all over now. We need respect for those using it and patience with the research, because while there is a lot of research out there, there's still a lot that needs to be done. And that's it.